Well, good morning, everybody. It's very nice to see you all this morning. And as Tim said, and as Jane read for us, we're going to be thinking a little bit more about Ruth chapter 4. And it was quite a long reading. We're just going to think about a little bit of it this morning. And we'll see how, actually, it really is relevant for us today as much as it was thousands of years ago. But before we do that, I've got some questions to ask you. Now, I want you to imagine that you're all teenagers. Some of you are teenagers, so that won't be too tricky. But I want you to imagine you're all teenagers. And what's happened is that you've been left at home on your own for a whole month. And because you're a teenager, you find that quite exciting. But luckily, your mum has left some notes around the house so that you know what to do. And one of them is to eat muesli and maybe go to school. You need to still do that. And wash up. And perhaps the most important one is wash yourselves. So you're left on your own. And you think, well, what shall I do? Well, I've got the note there. It says eat muesli. But actually, I think I know better. So we'll get rid of that. And I'm going to have a cheeseburger every day for breakfast. And not only that, I think I'll keep up with my diet and have pizza for lunch. And which means there's only one thing left for tea, isn't there? What should we have for tea? Should we have cake? We'll have cake for tea. Okay. So we think we know better, so we won't do that. Going to school? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to play my PlayStation all day. That's a much better idea. Now, washing up. You see, the problem, at some point it will come, because a month's quite a long time, there'll be some clothes that need washing and some dishes that need washing. Do you think you'll do the wash up? Should we get rid of that? Let's get rid of that. And what about this one? It's important occasionally to have a bath, isn't it? No? Should we get rid of that one as well? Okay, we'll get rid of all of them. Okay, so we're not going to do any of those things. We think sometimes we know better. And you might be scratching your head and thinking, well, Andy, what's that got to do with anything? And the reason we're thinking a little bit about that is because when the true story of Ruth was actually taking place, that's what everybody else thought as well. But they weren't just ignoring notes from their mum left around the house. They were ignoring something much more important. You see, God had made it very, very clear to all the people. He said, look, I'm going to tell you how you should live each day. And the way God did that is he wrote everything down, not on a post-it note, but on the Ten Commandments. But the people, well, they thought they knew better. So what they did is they said, well, God, you can go over there out the way. And those Ten Commandments, well, we'll get rid of those as well. And they did their own thing. They thought they knew what was best. They did what they saw fit in their own eyes, is what we're told at the end of Judges. And so what did they get up to? Well, they used to do some horrible things. They used to talk behind one another's back. But more than that, they wouldn't talk to some people. They'd just ignore them. Some of them would get very angry. And it didn't stop there. Some of them got so angry that they would fight and actually kill one another. Now, all of that is what was going on when the story of Ruth, what was going on when Ruth was alive. And it's important for us to know what the people were up to. All the people were ignoring God and doing what they thought was best in their own eyes. And they were doing some horrible, horrible things. Now, to understand what happens next, we're not going to focus on all the people. We're just going to think about a few people. But before we do that, I've got a quiz for us. You may have noticed our fancy new screen and projector. So if you look up here, there's a picture. Now, it's a picture that's been really zoomed in, like through a microscope. Does anyone want to have a guess as to what they think it might be? An insect is right. A fly is not right. Just a beetle. No, let's have a look. It is an insect. It's kind of like a fly, isn't it? It's a wasp eye is what that one was. Let's have a look at the next one. Okay, now I learned something at the 9:15 this morning, that this is DNA. Someone asked if it was DNA. I didn't know whether plants have DNA. So I said, well, actually, Will Stallman told me they didn't. But they do. So this is plant DNA. There's a moral to that story somewhere. This is plant. Would anyone like to guess what plant it is? Again, it's been zoomed in, so it's very, very close up. Any ideas? Yeah? A flower. It's not a flower. It's actually a plant that you can eat. Would anyone like to have a guess? It's a fruit, actually. One last guess. Let's have a look. It's a banana. Okay, one more to go. Okay. I'm pretty confident no one will get this. Shall we ask some of the grown-ups, see if they're any better? Any of the grown-ups who weren't here at the 9:15, Alan? Anyone like to have a guess? Oh, they're all too shy. Would you like to have a guess? Jess? Moldy watermelon is good, but it's not right. Anybody else? No? Okay. Let's have a look. That is actually some soy sauce. Okay, and it, with those things, if you zoom in too far, you can't see what it is, can you? You have to zoom out a little bit. But sometimes, zooming in is actually really helpful. So, this is, what's that? It's not a trick question, yep. It's the world, isn't it? But we're looking at one particular place in the world, but unless we zoom in, it's very, very hard to tell where that place is. So we'll have a little look. Which country are we looking at? England, isn't it? Anyone want to have a guess at what we're going to zoom in on? St. Mary's Church is not right. It's not your house. Well, is it your house? Let's have a look. It's Windsor Castle, isn't it? Jess, do you live in Windsor Castle? No. Okay. But it's Windsor Castle. But if we're too far away, we can't see what's going in. But when we zoom in, we can see what's going on. And that's what we're going to do with the people of Israel. We're going to zoom in, not on the whole country, but just on one family. And particularly, one lady is going to help us. Here she is. And her name is Naomi. And it's Naomi we're going to think a little bit more about this morning. Now, Naomi, she describes herself as being full. So let me pop this up here. Okay, Naomi says, look, let me describe what I'm like. I am full, okay? Now, we might think, well, Naomi, that's a bit of a funny thing to say. Whatever do you mean by calling yourself full? Now, we might think, oh, she's just had a very large sandwich for lunch. So what she means is her tummy is really full. But actually, she's not talking about having a very large lunch. She's talking more about her family. So if we have a look up here again, we'll see that Naomi, she was married to a chap called Elimelech. But that wasn't their family. There was more to their family because they had two sons, Kilian and Mahlon. And there was more to their family because they married as well, two women called Orpah and Ruth. So when Naomi says, look, I'm really full, what she means is that she's got a large family. And the reason that's such good news, because in those days, if you had a family, it meant one thing which was brilliant. It meant you had a future. It meant that your family would look after you, they would give you security, they'd protect you. And as Naomi gets older and older, they would look after her. Because there was no pensions for her to claim in those days. There were no care homes for her to go into. So with a family, it meant that your future was quite secure. So Naomi, with all that family, she feels like she's really full. But that's not the end of the story. Because if we watch up on the screen again, what happens next is Elimelech, Kilian, and Mahlon, they don't just disappear, actually. They all die. And not only that, but then Orpah leaves as well. So Naomi has gone from having a big family to virtually none. She's just got Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And here's the thing, look. If family equals future, what do you think no family equals? No future. Yeah. And Naomi goes from being empty, to being empty. Okay. So she's not only sad. Oh, let me tell you how she feels. I've got a little something for someone to try. Who'd like to try some? It's chocolate. Who'd like to try some? There you go. Try that, Jess. Anyone else? Yeah. Cool. How's it taste? Like dark chocolate. Okay. One more, Francesca, you've had a hand of one. I'll give you the rest of you some after, okay? What's it taste like? How do you describe it? Jacob, you're pulling a funny face. Why is that? Does it not taste very nice? How would you describe the taste? Disgusting. It's 90% chocolate. It's got no sugar in, so it's actually very bitter. And that's how Naomi describes herself. She says, look, I'm empty and I feel bitter. Not because she had some dodgy chocolate from me, but because actually a lot of her family had left her. She understands no family, no future. Okay. Now you might be thinking, well, Andy, I was in quite a good mood this morning, and actually you've told me one of the most depressing stories in the Bible. Is that the end of it? And we might have all sorts of questions about what's going on. Now the good news is that this is not the end of the story. There is something more that happens. But we are left with a question. See, if Naomi is going to be full again, what does she need? Family. But Naomi doesn't just have grey hair. She's actually very old by now. So she won't be able to have children herself. So there's nothing Naomi can do to make herself full. There's nothing Naomi can do to get her family back. She needs someone else to do that for her. If she's going to go from empty to full, and the word the Bible uses for that is the word redeem, which we had, how many times did we have that in our reading? Can anyone remember? Six? Did anyone count more than six? 10? 8? 11? 9? Did any of the adults count? I wasn't counting. 10. It's 10. Who said 10? Well done. You got it absolutely right. Okay. What Naomi needs is she needs to be made full. She needs to be redeemed. And the person who will redeem her is a redeemer. She can't do it herself. If she wants family, someone must do it for her. And the reason it's such a great story is because God actually provides a redeemer for her. Okay. So let me just pop those up there. God provides the Redeemer. And so if he provides a Redeemer for Naomi, she'll go from being empty to being full. But what does Naomi need if she's going to go from being empty to full? Yeah, who will give her family. And that's what we read about in the book of Ruth. Now, for the adults, you'll know that one of the Redeemers in the book of Ruth is Boaz. But there is a second Redeemer. Let me, if you've got your Bibles there, let me just read you chapter 4 and from verse 14. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has married him." If it was talking about Boaz, that's what it would say, wouldn't it? But it doesn't say that. Do you notice? Ruth, who is better than seven sons, has given him birth. Well, who are they talking about? Well, they're talking about the baby Obed. You see, when the baby is put in Naomi's arms, well, what's happened? She's now got a grandchild, so what do we do with this? Get rid of that. She's now got a family, which means she has a future, which also means what? She's full again, yeah. Now, how's that happened? How has Naomi been redeemed? By the baby, Obed. Okay? So you might think, well, Andy, that's a much better story. I much prefer that ending to where we were a few minutes ago. But actually, that's not the end of the story either. Because Obed, when he grows up, he has children, and then he has grandchildren himself. Now, one of his grandchildren is one of the most famous kings in the Old Testament. Can anybody want to have a guess at who it is? In the Old Testament? Who knows an Old Testament king? Is there a hand, sir? Oh, yeah, Jamie. David, yeah, absolutely right. Okay, so Obed's grandson is King David. And what does the king do? Well, here's the thing. Do you remember the people? What were they up to at the time of Ruth? Can you remember what they were doing? Yeah? They were fighting, weren't they? They were ignoring what God said and doing their own thing. Now, one of the brilliant things about David, God's king, he came along and he was actually a bit like a policeman. See, policemen do two things, don't they? If you're doing something wrong, what do they say? You might not know. Adults might know. If you're doing something wrong, what do policemen say? It's not a test of who's been arrested. Just use your imagination. They say don't do that, don't they, policemen? They tell you when you're doing something wrong. But also, if you're lost and you go up to a policeman and say, "Excuse me, I'm lost," what might they do? Does anyone know? What they'll do is, yeah, Jacob? They'll help you. Yeah, they'll tell you, they'll point you in the right direction. And King David, that's what he did. Everyone was ignoring God and his instructions. And he said, look, don't do that. You need to go in that direction. You need to start going God's way. And so we see actually that it wasn't just Naomi who was redeemed through this baby, but through her grandson, the whole country was brought back to God and going his way. So you think, well, it's even better. Ruth's story, it's not just about Ruth and Naomi and Obed and Boaz. It actually concerns all of God's people. But even that is not the end of the story. You see, as much as it's about Naomi and David and God's people then, this story is all about us as well. Because the Bible tells us that each one of us is actually empty. Okay? Each one of us is empty because each one of us is not in God's family. Now, you might be saying, oh, well, Andy, actually, that's not right because I feel quite full. I've got grandparents and parents and great-grandparents and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I have a big family, so I feel quite full. But ultimately, if we're not in God's family, then God says we're empty. Or conversely, you might be saying, well, Andy, I totally agree. I feel empty, but I know what will get me full is by having a husband or a wife or children or grandchildren. But actually, that's not what God says either. The reason you're empty is because you're not in God's family. Do you remember? No family, no future. And when we think about being in God's family, the future we look forward to is being with God forever. And here's the thing, each one of us are a bit like Naomi. Do you remember how Naomi couldn't do it herself? She needed a redeemer, didn't she? Now the good news is that God provides us with a redeemer as well. Let me help us think about that. Now, Obed was the name of the baby. Does anyone know where he was born? Do any of the adults know where Obed was born? Which town? Means town of bread. Begins with B. Bethlehem. Obed was a baby born in Bethlehem, and he redeemed Naomi. But our Redeemer is another baby born in Bethlehem who is actually born in a manger. Who might that be? Jesus. Yeah, absolutely right. See, God, knowing that we can't do anything to make ourselves full, he provides a Redeemer for us as well. And that Redeemer is Jesus. Now, what does that do with making us into God's family? Well, here's the thing. Jesus didn't just come to be born in Bethlehem. He also came to die on the cross. Okay? And Jesus died on the cross to redeem us. What that means is he can make us full again. How does that happen? Well, if we put our trust in what Jesus has done, if we say we're going to follow him as our king, well, actually, we are redeemed. And by redeeming us, it means that we become part of God's family. So if we're now in God's family, what happens to our future? There's going to be an amazing future. Yeah, absolutely right. If we have a family, then we have a future because Jesus has redeemed us, which means what happens up here? Yeah, we go from being empty to being full. So the story of Ruth isn't just really about Ruth. It's actually about each one of us. And it's brilliant because it says, look, you need a redeemer. God provides the Redeemer who is Jesus. And if we trust in him, we too will be going from empty to being full. Thank you very much for listening. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Dear God, we do thank you again for the true story of Ruth and the way you redeem her and Naomi. But we thank you too that it points forward to the Lord Jesus who died to redeem us. Amen.